Buying or selling a home can be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. Heritage Realty makes buying and selling easy. With Heritage Realty, you get local market expertise, one-on-one service, and the support of a network of agents across the area. Heritage Realty cares about the details and goes above and beyond to deliver the service you need. Knowledge is power. Trust Heritage Realty to buy or sell your home. For the newest listings and detailed market reports, visit heritagerealtyknox.com. Heritage Realty, where today's technology meets traditional customer service.
Welcome back into the starting lineup, 99.1 The Sports Animal, online worldwide at the WNML app, powered by Big Kahuna Wings. I'm Eric Kane, Will West along with me here today for this Friday show, and had a chance to catch up with Chris Gordy. He's a Sports Talk 790 in Houston, Texas. He also is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, getting great guests on throughout the week. You should check it out sometime during your free time. Had a chance to catch up with him for about 14 minutes on my podcast, Locked On Vols, and I broke it up into two segments so you can listen to it there for the complete interview. But I wanted to play some of it here for you guys. Of course, we have the SEC Championship happening tomorrow. I have college football just going crazy with all these new head coaching hires, and plus some good thoughts on Josh Heupel and Tennessee. So I'm going to play a little bit of this interview with you. Again, this is Chris Gordy of Sports 790 in Houston, Texas, but also the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, does a fantastic job. And here is Chris Gordy. Chris, how you doing today, man? Appreciate you joining us.
Oh, doing good, Eric. It's a little bit bittersweet this time of year. It's fun when we get championship weekend, but it also sucks because it's the end of the season for a lot of other teams, particularly the SEC. I know we're going to have the bowl games, and that'll be fun, but man, it's a little depressing this time of year because it's like, man, we waited so long for the start of the college football season, and now here we are. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, it always flies by. It's kind of shocking each and every year. And we'll get to Tennessee content here in just a moment, but let's go ahead and pick up right there. You mentioned it, Championship Saturday. You got the SEC Championship coming up. You got Georgia that is, I believe, a 6.5-point favorite over Alabama. You know, if Alabama loses this game, you think that they're out of the college football playoff picture. If you win it, probably both of those teams are going to the college football playoff. Kind of how do you see this game playing out? Does Georgia finish off this undefeated regular season?
Yeah, I've watched every one of their games this year. And look, has the competition for Georgia been a little bit lacking at times? Sure. You know, I could say the same for Alabama for much of their schedule, but like I just don't see. Let me put it this way: Alabama's not dominant like they typically are on the offensive and defensive lines. Georgia is. They have been so good. We know Jordan Davis catches all the headlines up front, and you know that they're living in people's backfields constantly. But the offensive line for Georgia is very underrated. I mean, I was surprised. Look at the numbers the other day, and I saw Stetson Bennett's only been sacked 6 times this year. That's the least amount of any starter in the SEC. So not only do they get after you defensively with their D-line, but the O-line protects better than anybody in the SEC. So I just find it real hard to believe, look, Will Anderson is really good for Alabama. He's gonna get his. He'll get to Stetson Bennett once or twice. But I feel like anything short of Alabama getting a pick 6 or, you know, block punt, you know, defensive touchdown, I don't see how they're going to stay in this game.
Chris, I've been asking everybody this question this past week, and, you know, the reason I keep asking it is because I continue to get different responses. And you can make it your own, of course, but when I think of SEC Coach of the Year, I mean, Kirby Smart jumped off the page, obviously. I understand he's got more toys to play with, but he brought those toys into Athens. Lane Kiffin deserves to be getting a ton of praise for what he's doing. Getting a lot of Sam Pittman's, and of course, Josh Heupel's name gets brought up there towards the end. Where would you go with your SEC Coach of the Year vote?
It's interesting because it's been a topic we've been kicking around here the last couple of days. I tend to, like, typically when Saban goes undefeated at Bama, I tend to take his name out of it because it was kind of expected. Well, with Kirby this year, I mean, I went back, I was listening to some of our podcasts we taped even as early as February, March, April. And I mean, the expectations were Kirby was going to run the table and Georgia was going to have a great chance at going undefeated and winning a national championship. And so because they've achieved that, they're undefeated here going into the championship weekend. I don't know if I could say it's particularly impressive because that's what I expected Kirby was going to do this year. On the flip side, I look at somebody like Josh Heupel, who, and I went back through an old a text with an old buddy of mine at the start of the year, and he said, man, we'll be lucky if we win five games this year. I mean, he was literally saying three, four wins for Tennessee just based on all the pieces they lost to, you know, transfer portal and new coaching staff and all that. And so to do what Heupel's done this year, I think is nothing short of, you know, very, very impressive. So I would put his name in there. I would put Kiffin in there yet too. You know, look, they get 10 wins. That's really impressive. It rarely ever happens at Ole Miss. So I think that's up there. I think Sam Pittman to go 8-4 with the brutal schedule Arkansas had. Remember at the start of the year, they were, you know, ESPN had them as the toughest schedule in the country of all teams. So for him to weather that storm and win eight games, I think was really impressive. So I don't know. Like if I was pushed and asked, you know, who's your SEC coach of the year right now, I'd have a real hard time picking one because there's so many good cases to be made out there. I mean, even, you know, Shane Beamer, despite getting blown out by Clemson in his finale, I mean, you know, nobody had any expectations for South Carolina this year, and they won a couple games that they weren't supposed to. So, yeah, it's I think there's a couple of different names you could throw out there, and I mean, honestly, I don't know if there's a wrong answer.
But this is why people don't like me, because I'm going to make you pick one right now. If you had a vote, who would it be right now? And of course, it could change, but right now.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess if I had to like press to the fire, I guess I would put Kirby, and that goes against my argument, you know, against it. But it's the easy one, and it's probably who the media is going to vote for. But again, if I had a little bit more time to sit down and think about it, I would probably lean Josh Heupel again, just for those reasons that I said, that, man, the expectations were so low in Knoxville, and for him to revolutionize this offense. I mean, when you talk about how bad things got with Garantano and all the pieces that they had in recent years, Jeremy Pruitt, like, what were you doing? For them to turn things around and have this offense entertaining and fun to watch, and Hendon Hooker turn into, you know, basically a star of the SEC, I think Josh Heupel absolutely deserves some votes.
Well, I appreciate you playing along there, and you kind of led me into my next thing. I mean, year one, I think it was definitely overachieving for Josh Heupel. I had maintained all offseason long that I think Tennessee could limp, literally just limp to six wins because the schedule was pretty easy. Tennessee now has a chance to wrap up, you know, with a bowl win included with eight wins, and I think that's incredible. You mentioned the exciting brand of football and all that type of stuff. You know, is this type of play sustainable in the SEC? And what's the next step for Josh Heupel, I guess? I mean, you kind of came in here and you've changed things around. For Josh Heupel to take another step in year two, what would that look like for you?
So he's got to rebuild that defense. I mean, you know, we saw them give up the 41 to Pitt earlier this year. Now, we didn't know how good Pitt was going to be. Little did we know we were watching a budding superstar in Kenny Pickett. But, you know, Florida, you give up the 38 to Florida, you give up the 52 to Bama. I mean, in my mind, those are where, you know, that's where the improvement needs to be made, is on the defensive side. And not to say, I mean, you guys had some great defensive players who really stepped up and played above their heads this year. And it was unfortunate to see in the news Alante Taylor is opting out of the bowl game. I get it. He's going to go play in the Senior Bowl. He wants to prepare for the next level. But, what, I guess fans of Knoxville, no free cookies with Alante Taylor stepping out. But, I would say the defense is definitely needs to be a focus. I mean, you know, and then finding a bell cow running back. I mean, you know, Jabari Small had his moments, and Tyon Evans, we know, is entering the portal. Like, if you could find that guy who could be your 800, 900-yard rusher next year and kind of get back to, you know, how it used to be at Tennessee, I'd love to see that. And then, again, you know, the big question is, what's going to happen with Hooker? Is he coming back? You know, I would sit down with him and have a serious conversation and go, hey, man, you can be, you know, one of the guys in the SEC next year if you come back another year in this offense, you know, with all these weapons around you. So, long story short, I would say the defense has to improve, but I'd say also finding that bell cow running back that can be the main focus.
Chris, Josh Heupel to Oklahoma, it's not going to happen. I guess I should say I never speak in absolute, so I don't believe it's going to happen. Josh Heupel gave some reassurance on our station even just a couple of days ago, actually. But did you ever think that was a possibility, and could that ever be a possibility down the line, say in a couple more years, him potentially leaving Tennessee if this job came open again?
I mean, it made sense from the get-go and you hear, okay, Lincoln Riley's leaving Oklahoma. Well, who should they replace him with at this stage in the game? Oh, hey, Josh Heupel makes perfect sense. Now, I don't know the full details on, was there some, issues when he left there. I know some people weren't happy with how he left and that sort of thing. So I don't know the full details behind the closed doors when he was at Oklahoma. But I do know this. I mean, that it speaks volumes to how much he believes in this program and where he is now. If he's willing to turn down, I don't know if Oklahoma's formally offered him, but, for him to shut that down pretty quickly, I think speaks volumes of what he believes in where he's at. I mean, for kids that are 17, 18, they don't know Tennessee of what it once was. But, 20 years ago, this was one of the premier jobs, not just in the SEC, but in the country. And so, I think Josh Heupel sees that and says, I want to get this program back to where it once was. And, that's where I think, man, if he could stick around and see this thing out and be there 3, 4, 5, six more years, I think it's, big things on the horizon for the Vols and the future in Knoxville if Josh Heupel sticks around. So, I think it kind of speaks to the state of where things are and, speaks to how much he believes in what they're building there, that he's not even going to entertain jumping. Now, if he were to jump, my gosh, you put him right in the Lane Kiffin category of, one and done, like, hey, man, why'd you leave us at the altar? But, I think he believes in what you guys are building there.
Again, a big-time thank you to Chris Gordy of Sports Talk 790 in Houston. He does a fantastic job. He's also the host of Locked On SEC. That was the interview, the complete interview I played on my podcast, Locked On Vols. Encourage you to go check it out. Give it a listen, a subscribe today. Would very much appreciate it. The full interview with Chris Gordy is there. We will come back, continue to break down the biggest games in college football championship Saturday when we return, plus some more Tennessee football content as always. As you're listening to the Starting Lineup on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
55, 60 trucks they have here at Beatty Chevrolet right now that I'm seeing. And most of these vehicles are going to come with a Beatty warranty for life. What is that? Nationwide lifetime powertrain warranty that you get on almost every vehicle they have right now at Beatty Chevrolet. And at a time right now where you get concerned about supply and demand, Eric, you don't have to worry about that at Beatty Chevrolet. They never charge you more than MSRP and work vehicles as well. I tell you, the Griffins have a great selection right now of work vehicles here at Beatty Chevrolet. So if you want to make sure that you get in so you can get that tax write-off and take care of your tax situation, get that work vehicle before the end of the year, now's the time to do it. And a great selection of new vehicles right now on the lot as well, Beatty Chevrolet.
I was going to say, the inventory, is through the roof right now. So many different vehicles, and they got to go. And it's the perfect time to come in and treat yourself at the end of the year for Christmas, drive into the new year in 2022, with a new vehicle over here at Beatty Chevrolet. So many different options, and it's got to go. So come on down here and check it out. We're going to be here till 9, but, of course, they'll be here all day.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll be here all day today, all day on Saturday, and they rest on Sunday. So Beatty Chevrolet is the place to do it this weekend. All right, championship weekend this weekend. Best matchup you see from these title games?
Best matchup, probably Michigan and Iowa.
You think that's the best game?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really, really good game. And there's so many different storylines because, this is kind of the year for Michigan. Yes, you blew that lead against Michigan State and your rival a couple weeks ago, but you finally got Ohio State. You're not just starting 7-0, 8-0, and then losing and then not getting out of your own division. This is the year you did do that, and you're playing good football. Can you finish this thing off? Everything tells me that Michigan won't. It'll blow it. But it's a good football team, and it's coached well. And so, so was Iowa. Iowa's a top five team. I think number two at one point in time, right?
Yeah.
Has lost twice since. So we'll see. I could see this game going either way. I'll probably stick with the Wolverines, but I think that'll be a good one.
It's an interesting matchup because the way Michigan has beaten people the last two, and if you look at Michigan's overall resume, it's not that impressive. A bunch of teams who aren't very good, they barely beat, right? And yep. Then 2 weeks ago, you had the Maryland game. They just beat the slop out of Maryland. And then Ohio State, they just beat the slop out of Ohio State. How they did that was bullying them up front. I'll tell you the one thing you're not going to do, bully Iowa up front.
Yeah.
So I just wonder about, a lot of the things that we know from modern strength training came from University of Iowa, right, and came from the staff. So I just don't think Michigan can shove them around. So can Michigan beat them simply with their skill position players? They should have enough talent to be able to do that, but it would be the most Harbaugh thing in the world to blow this game, wouldn't it?
Oh, it really, really would, again. But he's done more this year than he ever has.
Yes.
So this is kind of uncharted territory, if we're being completely honest. This is the biggest game that he's coached in while at Michigan.
Yeah, the game I think will be the best game. Most people won't watch it because Michigan and Iowa would be on at the same time. It's the ACC title game.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a really good game.
That's going to be a fun game.
It is going to be a fun game.
Everybody likes points. Everybody likes offense right now.
First 1-40 kind of wins, probably.
Yeah, and it's going to be one where you have literally a team that scores 42.9 points per game going up against a team that scores 42.8 points per game. Wake Forest just slightly better in the scoring offense margin. I mean, both top five teams in the country. The difference here, Will, is Pittsburgh's got a respectable defense.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's got a top, I believe it's a top, I think they're 24th in scoring defense in the country.
There you go.
Whereas Wake is
called the nugget in the business.
Yes, exactly. And Wake is 100th overall in total defense. So difference there to offense. I just think it'll be a really, really fun game. Plus, you know, who plays? Like, Kenny Pickett's fun to watch. You know, he wasn't fun to watch play against Tennessee. I get that. But, I mean, watching him go up against Carolina a couple weeks ago, that was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I don't sleep on the AAC championship game. Because Cincinnati's looking at it saying, we're in the top four right now. We're finally going to make this playoff field. And they're playing a Houston team that hasn't lost since week one on the season. And Daniel Holgorsen can fly coach, man. And you know what they do? They throw it all over the yard. Fickell, it looks like, is going to stay at Cincinnati right now. That'll be a closer game than I think people think. I still think Cincinnati wins, but if you want to say where can some chaos happen, that is a place some chaos can happen. The place I think the chaos happens, I think Baylor beats Oklahoma State this weekend.
Yeah.
I guess 5.5-point game or something like that is what the line is right now. Baylor's 10-2, Oklahoma State's 11-1. Oklahoma State's already beaten them once this season. 10-point game then, but Baylor got a lot better as it went along. And it seems like maybe Oklahoma figured some things out on Oklahoma State's defense. It's a weird Gundy team because it's not a team that beats everybody 56-49. And that's usually what Gundy's teams are. They win with defense and ball control, which is really, really weird. But I think if you want to go toe-to-toe with Dave Aranda on that, that can be tough. I think you also are going to see a team that may be a little bit of a letdown from Oklahoma State coming off of that win in Bedlam against a Baylor team that just – Dave Aranda's done such a great job, and what they do is they're just sound. But I like what they have defensively with Aranda coaching it. I love what Jeff Grimes has done on the offensive side. I think that's going to be a really good one. A game I'm interested in on the mid-majors is the Louisiana game against Appalachian State, the Sun Belt Championship. Appalachian State's moved up to a 3-point favorite this morning overnight, and it's the last game for Billy Napier, Louisiana. So they are doing a dang parade and like everything in the world about it. It's Billy Napier Day in Lafayette, Louisiana, heading into that Sun Belt title game. It will be very interesting to see how hard that team plays. It's the antithesis of what happened at Notre Dame. Billy Napier did it the right way. I mean, he did. He was like, hey, I thank everybody. He made sure he celebrated his players and things like that. He said, I told Florida I'm not leaving until we do the title game coming up this weekend. And then after that, he'll leave and take over the Florida program starting on Monday.
Any fake accents?
No fake accents. Okay. If you didn't see Brian Kelly, the video.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know who did this.
Of his Foghorn Leghorn accent yesterday.
It was a blue check mark guy, so it was somebody that I trust. I forgot who it is, though. They went down and they got like Brian Kelly a couple of days ago, 4 or 5 days ago, in a press conference saying the word family. They said, this is Brian Kelly literally this week. This is Brian Kelly last night. You do the math.
Yeah, Brian Kelly was doing a fake Southern accent.
Oh, it was cringy.
But this is one of the reasons why I've said I like Heupel and I think it'll work here, is he doesn't do stupid things like that.
Yep.
Just go be yourself a Coach Ball. You don't need to be a brand. Brian Kelly's trying to be a brand, and I have concerns with that with LSU.
So since I follow recruiting and I cover recruiting, I've noticed, you know, Florida's coaching staff, and again, I'm not dialed into how he's assembling his staff, who he's got in there, who's staying on all that stuff. I don't know the situation. But Florida's coaching staff is out recruiting, doing in-home visits and everything. I've been seeing the pictures and stuff going out on social media. I think it's really cool Napier's staying, coaching with his team right now, sending his staff out there to do all that work, and then after this weekend – he'll dive in head first.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting game, that Sun Belt Championship, because Appalachian State's they're the favorite in this one. But, man, it is just we win one for the Gipper time for Louisiana Lafayette in that one.
Let me ask you this. Let's go back to Cincinnati and Houston. Am I wrong to feel like it's going to fall apart? Like, we've been wanting – we as college football fans have been wanting you know, a mid-major to get
a group of five school to have a shot.
Get a chance. Yeah. Get a shot, right? And I made fun of UCF a ton the last couple of years when they went to a New Year's Six and got pounded by, I think it was Auburn 1 year and all that type of stuff. But we just want a chance, right? Just to say, okay, we've seen it. We've at least seen it. And this year, win and you're in. It's as simple as that, right? It should be as simple as that. And Houston's a good team. Houston's a team that has a great record, hasn't lost in 12 weeks, has won 11 straight. It's coached really, really well. I just feel like trouble's a-brewing for Cincinnati.
It feels like it could be that spot. And let's see how they answer that spot, yeah. Right? Because a lot of us thought last year, well, Cincinnati's about to get humbled by Georgia. And they were right there in it. And if they don't mismanage the clock at the end, they probably beat Georgia, right? So we'll see how that goes. We'll come back on the other side as well. Tennessee in the bowls. What does that look like? Who is Tennessee looking at possibly playing in the bowl matchups? We're going to run through every national projection for Tennessee in the bowl game. Spoiler alert, a couple of people have Tennessee in the Outback Bowl. We'll tell you about it next. Starting lineup, 99.1, the Sports Animal. You tell me where you think Tennessee goes.
I mean, the popular pick right now is the Gator Bowl, and it certainly does make sense. You know that the Gator Bowl is going to want Tennessee to come because Tennessee will travel. Tennessee has a record.
What kind of money?
Yeah, they want money. Tennessee has a record that's deserving to be in Florida. I get all that, but I feel like it just makes too much sense for Tennessee to be anywhere other than Nashville. You look at the SEC pecking order, there are a lot of teams that could be going to Florida that could, you know, supplant Tennessee back down to Nashville. So I'll say Music City, but I won't be surprised whatsoever if it is Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's I think they go to the Tax Slayer Bowl because I think at the end of the day, money talks and never, you know what everything else does, right? So I think that Jacksonville's where it's going to be. I was told a few weeks ago, I hear you, and again, it's not for somebody from the Tennessee side. I was just told shooting the bowl with a buddy of mine that it's tied in college football. I hear y'all are going to either Jacksonville or Nashville. So I think those are the first two that are on the board right now. If I had to handicap this, I would say the favorite is Jacksonville. I would say Music City Bowl is next. I would say Charlotte next. And then I would say four is
Outback.
I don't see them getting the Outback.
I don't
four
either.
Four is
but
the Liberty. But you got a couple of people to do it. I guess, yeah, we'll get to that. You have a couple of people right now that have Tennessee in the Outback Bowl. Brett McMurphy of Action Sports Network has Tennessee in the Outback Bowl playing against Wisconsin. Bill Bender, buddy of ours, friend of the station, Outback Bowl against Wisconsin. So I don't know how you're going to jump Tennessee at 7-5 over the 8-4 A&M and over 8-4 Arkansas, but it does look like at least Brett McMurphy and Bill Bender, who are two very tied in dudes, think that there's a possibility that could happen.
Yeah, I don't see that happening either. But when you know respected journalists who know a whole lot more about how bowl tie-ins work and how bowls work and say that you know, hey, this could happen, I'm going to believe them. So I do believe it is a. There's a chance there. I mean, that'd be incredible. If Tennessee can go to the Outback Bowl.
If you go to the Outback Bowl, it'd be cool.
That's a bowl you want to be in. That's a bowl probably you're not deserving of right now.
Bloom and onion.
Yeah. Be the bloom, as Tyler Hines would say. I see the Outback Bowl even more of a possibility, though, than the Liberty Bowl, simply put, just because, you know, Tennessee, it has a record that's deserving of a Florida Bowl. It has a fan base that will travel. Just too many more things add up that would get them out of Memphis.
My concern with that is the only reason I say Liberty over Outback is I don't know how you tell 8-4 Arkansas with a really good fan base that they're not getting that bowl and they're getting jumped. The other thing is Liberty Bowl didn't get Tennessee last year because of the COVID situation, right?
Yeah, but I mean, should that play a factor into this year?
It shouldn't, but are you going to do a make good is my concern. If the politicking doesn't work on Tennessee's side, I think they could end up in the Liberty Bowl. I think the politicking will work, and I think they're going to end up in the Tax Slayer Bowl. Also, I think Jacksonville, if you remember what happened last time when they played Iowa there, they sold out the entire stadium. They drank the place full. There was literally no more whiskey in the middle of the second half. So that's a whole lot of revenue. And so I do think Jacksonville's going to look at this and say, you know what, we like money. So let's bring Tennessee in. I think it happens. Here's what we have as far as the national media. CBS Sports, Music City Bowl against Minnesota. Yahoo Sports, Liberty Bowl against West Virginia. Sports Illustrated, Gator Bowl against Penn State. Sporting News, Outback against Wisconsin. Athlon Music City against Purdue. College Football News, the Duke's Mayo Bowl against Virginia. Action Sports Network, Outback against Wisconsin. USA Today, Music City against Penn State, which would be a very interesting one there. There's no real consensus, but it's all in just about the same spot. The two guys are ESPN, and ESPN owns all the bowl games. They have them going to the Duke's Mayo Bowl. One, Schlabaugh has him playing Miami. The other guy whose name I can't pronounce has him playing Virginia in that game with Bronco Mendenhall walking away at the end of the season. One quick note for you. Bleacher Report has Tennessee going to the Texas Bowl in Houston to take on Kansas State.
Okay, so again, guy who covers the team, guy who will be at the bowl game, I want that game because I've never been to Houston. So I want that game, but that game's not going to happen. Typically, it's a tie-in from the SEC West that will go.
I would say Mississippi State would be a, that'd be a really good spot for Mississippi State.
I would agree with that as well. I don't see Tennessee doing that whatsoever. I mean, they always want an SEC West team, plus just with so much to gain with Tennessee going to Florida, I don't see that.
Yeah, so we'll see what the way that it all shakes out. You are not. You disagree with me on the. I do believe the Taxpayer Bowl is a better bowl situation than the Duke's Mayo or the Music City Bowl. You disagree with that?
I view them all on the same footing.
They are all supposed to be on the same tier. So what you're saying is accurate. That doesn't mean it's right. Does that make sense?
I guess. I mean, I know you want to go to Florida Bowl. You want to travel. You want to do all that. I mean, I get it. I'm all for that if it's the Outback Bowl for sure. You know, when you're openly campaigning, I'm not saying Tennessee's doing this or anyone's doing this, but I mean, if you're downing like a Duke's Mayo or a Music City and saying, "Oh, Jacksonville's Texas Gator Bowl is so much better," I completely disagree with that. I think they're all on the same footing. But it is what it is. You get to go down to Jacksonville. You get to spend a couple of days around the beach. It'll be warmer down there. There's something about Florida in January that's very appealing. So I understand it. I get it. Just in my mind, I view all those bowl games as kind of the same footing.
They're all on the same tier. Texas Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Music City Bowl, Duke's Mayo Bowl, Taxpayer Bowl are all the same tier bowl game.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just interchange based on who's been where, supposedly, who's been where most recently, and then you'll change things around and move them around for the teams that are in that tier.
Well, that's the case. And, I mean, Tennessee was just down in Jacksonville.
They were just down in Jacksonville not that long ago. Again, they're also just in Nashville, though.
When? Like 2016, 2015.
Yeah, right? I was going to say 2017. So, I thought it was 17, but maybe you're right.
It's 2017 they didn't go bowling.
Okay, they didn't go. So it was 16 then?
No, they were in Florida. I think it's been a minute since they've been in Nashville. Last time I remember, and I could be completely wrong. I mean, they played Carolina one year in Nashville. I know that.
They played
Derek Barnett's senior year. They played somebody. Yeah. Okay. That could be the year. Nonetheless, I could see them at either one of those, but I feel like the Texas Gator Bowl is going to do whatever it can to get Tennessee down there, as it should.
Yeah. Look, it's I think Arkansas would sell well there. I just think if you're this Taxpayer Bowl, you know Tennessee's going to sell that place.
Tennessee's got a upward trajectory. Tennessee's moved up throughout the season. You got that gauntlet stretch where you went 1-3.
But do you want to go get A&M, who started the season number 6 in the nation, and you got them in the Taxpayer Bowl? Who feels good about that?
Or do you want to go get Arkansas? And I mean, I think Arkansas's had a fine year, but started the year off, 6-0, 7-0, number 8 in the country,
and
then lost 3 straight.
That fan base is excited. My concern about Arkansas, if I was the Taxpayer Bowl, is that's a long trip.
Yep.
That's my concern.
Very long trip.
That is my concern about having Arkansas there. So, and if you put them at the Outback Bowl, maybe they're excited enough to be at the Outback Bowl that they go sell that out and can get into Tampa. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. We'll come back on the other side. Championship weekend. Give you a preview. There's always chaos in college football on a weekend like this, right? We'll tell you where we think it's going to be next. Starting lineup on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Here's Kaner with your Tennessee Lottery sports update. SUVs. One, they have tons of certified pre-owned SUVs here. You're going to get the Beatty warranty for life on almost every vehicle that they have at Beatty Chevrolet right now. Probably 60 to 70 SUVs, any size you're talking about, compact, all the way up to your big boys, your Suburbans. And if you're looking for trucks as well, probably 50 to 60 trucks that they have on the lot right now at Beatty Chevrolet. And again, the Beatty warranty for life on literally almost every car that they have, every vehicle they have at Beatty Chevrolet. And they have a ton of work vehicles as well at Beatty Chevrolet right now. So if you're looking to maybe go ahead and make that purchase for that work vehicle before the tax year ends, now's the time to do it. Beatty Chevrolet, they open up at 8 a.m., close at 9 p.m. They're doing the same hours tomorrow as well. Stop by here and see them. Great people at Beatty Chevrolet. And remember, right now at Beatty Chevrolet, as always, they will never charge you more than MSRP. So while other places might charge you $5,000 to $7,000 above MSRP, at Beatty Chevrolet, they never charge more than MSRP. And again, you get that Beatty warranty for life. All right, so you get championship weekend coming up this weekend, Kaner. Chaos always happens in college football, right? It's never just chalk. If you're predicting it right now, where does the chaos happen this weekend for championship week?
Either the Big Ten championship. I mean, I think that line is well too large. So either the Big Ten championship or it's got to be the AAC, right? I mean, something just screaming Trouble's brewing for Cincinnati. Houston is playing so well. It scores a lot of points. Cincinnati has been up, down, up, down. I mean, it's undefeated. It's a well-coached football team. It's a good football team. And with a win, it will do. It will make history, right? I just feel like something's going to spoil that. So I'll say in the AAC or the Big Ten.
Look, I think we see a lot of chalk, and then I think the Big 12 championship game happens as well. I think that we're going to see Baylor knock off Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State beat them by 10 earlier in the season. I think a second look at it with Dave Aranda, they're going to figure some things out. That dude's very analytical, the way Dave Aranda is. It's not an Oklahoma State team that goes and drops 40 on people. And I think he and Jeff Grimes are going to figure out something with that Oklahoma State defense. So I think that Oklahoma State would have their chance to play their way into the playoff, and I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I think Baylor's going to knock them off this weekend.
So if Cincinnati loses, if Baylor beats Oklahoma State, who's your four?
It should be Notre Dame next. And Notre Dame has done everything they can to try to set themselves up to be in the playoff still, because we did have Gary Barta of the playoff committee say – the selection committee say we would take into consideration that Brian Kelly's no longer on that sideline. There are a lot of people who have said that Notre Dame apparently has been leaking out information that this player who might not play in a bowl game would play if they go to the playoff, this player, to try to make sure that gets out publicly so that try to paint the committee into a corner as much as they possibly can.
Good.
That maybe they kept the staff intact as much as they could for a chance at a playoff right now with Brian Kelly there to probably kind of paint the committee into a corner. I think it will be Notre Dame, mostly because I don't think this is just going to be a three-point Georgia win. I think Georgia's going to beat Bama this weekend. A lot of that's just how poorly Bama's played that Arkansas game, the LSU game, and then last week against Auburn. Georgia's going to have – I keep coming back to what Trey Wallace told us yesterday and what he brought up. That right side of Georgia's pass rush, if Auburn did what they did to the left side of Bama's line.
What do you think Georgia's going to
do? Yeah, what is Georgia going to do?
Let me throw a counter at you here. Right. I agree with you, though, but, I mean, Georgia has not faced – any of the top four passers in the SEC. So it's not played Corral. It's not played Young yet. It has not played Max Johnson, and it's not played – oh, who's the other one I'm forgetting?
What's his name at Mississippi State?
Hadn't played any of those. I would assume the best quarterback Georgia's played all year long has been Hendon Hooker and K.J. Jefferson, right?
Yep. And it was an injured K.J. Jefferson at the time, if you remember. Yeah, he couldn't run.
So – I think that defense, I'm not going to say rude awakening, but you're about to play the Heisman Trophy winner, most likely, right? And Bryce Young, and a guy that can make a lot of things happen, can run around, Tennessee fans know he can get a lot on the ground as well. So that would be my counter is that defense has been great. That defense has been solid all year long, but it hasn't gone up against a solid quarterback, at least in terms of the passing leaders in the SEC.
I can't get how poorly Alabama looked in those last three SEC games out of my head.
Yep.
I can't do it.
You were shut out by Auburn for 3.5 quarters.
Yeah. And it's not a good Auburn team.
No.
That's a 6-6 Auburn team that just fired their offensive coordinator, right?
Yep.
So, and Darius Mason, it wasn't like he did anything incredibly exotic. They just kept blitzing that left side and overloading that left side, and that left tackle got smoked over and over and over and over again. Yep. So that's the concern that I have for Alabama in this game. And also it seems like there are times I don't think that Bill O'Brien in this offense has been as good of a play caller as Sarkisian was or Lane has been. They don't do any of the pre-snap motion and things like that they do to get some of their receivers open and to create separation right at the snap of the football has not happened under Bill O'Brien. And it seems like at times Bryce Young doesn't feel comfortable throwing the ball into anybody not named John Metchie. So when he gets in a bind, it's just, where's Metchie? I want to put the ball into him.
Well, he dropped a
couple, yeah, he dropped a couple of them against Auburn. And so then it was just like, okay, where's he going to go with the football from here? So that's the one thing that I get concerned. Now, who's on that sideline? Nick Saban's on that sideline. So you can't write him off.
No.
There's nothing from a – if I'm just saying football, look at football – there's nothing about football that gives me the scenario where Alabama beats Georgia this weekend, except that Nick Saban's on that sideline.
Lane ran that system for a couple of years. Sarkisian ran that system for a couple of years. I'm not the biggest Bill O'Brien fan, but if he were to stay in the same role for 2 to 3 seasons, which I don't believe he will, I think he'd get it rolling just a little bit better. Because you're too talented with Bryce Young not to be more consistent and more. I guess elevated is what I'm trying to say. Now, he puts a lot on him, too. He trusts him, and he allows him to change things to the line of scrimmage, which is really, really awesome, for still a relatively young quarterback that was a true freshman last year. But I agree with you overall. I mean, football's football. Nick Saban is Nick Saban. He's going to get those guys up to play in this big game. He's the best to ever do it, you know, on sidelines in the college game. Alabama is not a bad football team by any stretch of the imagination. It's just not the dominant Alabama team that we've seen in years past. And kind of like what Nick Saban was saying the other day on his radio show when he was yelling at the fans and they were applauding him. if you lose one game and you get mad at the players, you expect perfection every single time out. That's just not reality, but it's been Alabama's reality for the last decade plus. So when you have an 11-1 football team, yeah. I mean, you know, it's still a good football team. I just think that Georgia, if Georgia doesn't turn over the football, if Georgia is efficient, it runs the football, takes long drives, you know, dominates the line of scrimmage, plays good defense like it's done all season. If Georgia does everything it's done all season long, which I think it will, it should win this game by 10 points, in my opinion.
I completely agree. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. Okay, best game of the weekend.
Oh, Pitt Wake.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, man. I cannot wait. What time is that game?
It's right against the Big Ten Championship.
Oh, that's no fun.
So, but if you turn on Michigan and Iowa and it's just ugly because you got Ferentz, then you can flip it over and watch odds. Like, that game will be the Big Ten's on Fox, the ACC Championship's on ABC. But if you find yourself on Saturday night with nothing to do and you just want to watch two teams throw haymakers at each other with big plays, those two teams are going to throw haymakers at each other.
Do you like touchdowns? Do you like forward passes?
Yes.
Tune into the ACC Championship.
Then you are
game.
Going to see them. One other question for you before we get out of here. College football note. Are you surprised Oklahoma hasn't made a hire yet?
Yes.
What are you waiting on?
Are you waiting on?
Are you waiting on someone specifically who's coaching this weekend? I guess is what I wonder. Otherwise,
that would make the most sense, right?
You're less than 2 weeks from signing day. But what are you doing?
Then again, if everything goes as planned, it's not like you're going to get him right now, right?
Yeah.
Unless he pulls a Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
We're talking about Luke Fickell here.
Yeah, and I don't think Luke Fickell's going to leave for their.
I don't think
Oklahoma.
So either. I think he's a man of higher integrity.
So
of course, so is literally anyone.
So is literally everyone but Brian Kelly. That's Eric Kane. I'm Will West. 656-9900. If you want to get on board and play the game, now is the time to do it. We need two callers right now. 656-9900. We got a $25 Papa Murphy's gift card that's on the line. This is the starting lineup. Live from Beatty Chevrolet. Beatty warranty for life. Never pay more than MSRP. Starting lineup on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.